Mambo Vipi, what's happening? My name is Anyiko Owoko and I am a lover of arts, culture and everything African. And here, we grant you front row access to your favorite celebrities, creators, the biggest personalities and industry experts. Come with me, you're now a VIP. Welcome back to VIP Access. Thank you so much for your company every other week. Today's show is going to be epic because I have an amazing woman, a very inspiring artist and musician from Uganda. I always love when I take you guys to Uganda. I think the last Ugandan artist we had here on the podcast was Flex the Paper. It was really cool. We were talking about hip-hop. So it's really nice now that we want to cross over to other genres like Afrobeat, Amapiano. This specific artist has been very successful in the recent years. But before that, she has a very powerful story of how she rose to fame. You know, she's actually been hustling, working in various industries. So we're going to be talking about that. You probably know her from successful songs and hits like Be Timber, Wanting Me, and To Party. Now you know who I'm talking about. Welcome, Pia Pounce.
Thank you so much, Anyiko. I'm so happy to be here.
Hey, baby girl. What's up? First of all, let me just say that I'm such a fan of yours because of everything you exude.
Thank you.
I think you are an embodiment of a young, successful African woman, but also super stylish and fashionable.
Thank you so much.
Tell me, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to be here. First of all, it means the most to me to be here in your presence because I'm a fan as well. I'm a fan of Anyiko. So I'm so happy to be here. Kenya is beautiful. I love the weather, though in the night it gets so cold and I'm like...
It's always so hot in Uganda.
Yeah, Uganda, our temperatures are very friendly, maybe because I'm used to it.
Where are my manners? I was supposed to tell you something. Chiri chitia?
Yeah, chiri. Chiri, okay.
Ugandans know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, karibu Kenya, welcome.
Asante sana.
How is Uganda?
Uganda is beautiful. It's, you know Uganda.
Yeah.
Chaotic.
It's chaos. When they open the roads and all the motorbikes are crossing and all of them are crisscrossing, it's the craziest thing. But it's so well coordinated. The chaos have
we
a coordinated way.
Experience in the chaos.
Yeah. So, I mean, congratulations on everything.
Thank you so much.
You know, you've been around, you know, singing, collaborating with various artists. And I feel like your 2020 EP, To Party, was like, you know, your breakthrough record. Obviously, there was a song, To Party, in there, which became such a huge song. Once it was released, there was a video clip that was posted by someone really enjoying, and he was like, it's Friday, I'm To Party, you know, it's Friday.
Yeah.
And that thing really trended. So if you could tell me and tell us about that, like, did you ever think, you know, that would happen to your song? And did you think that when I'm releasing my EP, the lead track is going to end up being my career changer?
When we were recording the EP, we had like a bunch of songs, so many on the EP. It was first an album, so we had like 10 songs.
Mm.
And then I hadn't yet recorded To Party, like the idea hadn't popped in. When I did record the song, though, it was during the pandemic, 3 a.m. in the morning. There was like so many friends of mine at the studio. And then right after the production, we take the demo outside to, you know, let people vibe and like ask them, how do you think about this song? Their reaction was so obvious because when the song started straight from the beginning, people were just screaming. They were like, this is a hit. They lifted me up. They are like, you've broken through. But then when we released the EP, we waited for that reaction from the people. And it took so long. I started thinking, oh, you know what? Let's just release other music because this is not working. But that was the pandemic, and this was a party song. So we were in a lockdown. Nobody's moving. I just like, okay, I can enjoy this song with my family and friends because the world is not getting it. But then challenges started coming in after like 8 months of the song's release. There was so many challenges. Like I would just receive challenges on my phone, people vibing to the song. I'm like, is this song growing? Could this song be the song? And then MC Africa's challenge came in, I think it was March when I got that challenge. I'm like, wow, this guy seems to be the owner of the song. He's enjoying it. He's explaining exactly like the mood he has is really bringing out what I wanted people to feel when they listen to the song. I don't know how it happened when it went viral, because it went viral a few months after I had received it. So it's going viral on TikTok. I have no idea. And then I wake up one morning, I'm trending on Twitter. Like, what is happening? And then, you know, when you've prayed for something for a very long time and you've wanted it so badly and you've fasted, you've done everything, you're like, I'm going to put everything I can in this, but then it's not working. And then it comes at the least, because I really least expected it. Mm-hmm. And then it was number one on iTunes for 6 weeks. That's like a record broken by a Ugandan artist. And then it went to Netflix as well. On Young, Famous, and
Young
African.
Famous and African.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Episode 6, Season 1.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I really was humbled. Like, the success of the song humbles me so much. And then it gives me this hope that if 3 years in the music career, that much can happen to a song of mine, then I'm going to be a big star. So it basically kickstarted my star zone and how far I want to hit in my career.
Wow, amazing. And after that happened, when you went viral, you quickly thought, I need to release a remix.
Yeah.
How did that come about? I mean, MC Africa, you didn't even have to think about it, but what about Eddie Kenzo?
So very many people in Uganda, like fans, can do a video and it goes viral for different artists. Mm. But for this gentleman, when he came, because he was in Bali, so I called him to our studio at ABM in Muyenga. When he came, I asked him, what do you think I can give you to thank you for this amazing record-breaking viral video? Mm. It was so viral. So he's like, I'd like to sing with you. I asked him, are you an artist? He's like, no, I'm an MC. You can just put me in the song and we vibe. And then after like a day or two, he told me, by the way, I would like to meet with Eddie Kenzo, because Eddie Kenzo launched my music career in 2018. So he's like, you know, every time we are vibing to your music, we really like give the thanks back to the guy who made us know you. Most Ugandans know me from. He signed me and he brought me to the world. And then later I exited the label, of course, but then we stayed very close. So I took MC Africa to Eddie Kenzo's studio. When I did, we came out with
what a beautiful remix. Coming together, yeah. Right? It's a collaboration and a remix, but there's a story to it.
Yeah. MC Africa was out, like, he was so excited. He was so happy. He was screaming in the song. And like, okay. And then, if you see the car video he was in, he was looking so rushed,
so
humble.
Yeah.
And then in the video, we gave him a suit.
Of course. And he was all styled up.
He's like, you guys don't know what you've done for me. Like, I just like to see him really happy, because he doesn't know what he did for me. He doesn't know how much that viral video did for me. So that's the least I could do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say he doesn't know what he did for you, or what that viral hit did for you, this song. What did it do for you? Because I've seen a lot of your interviews and you said, before this song became as big as it did, I actually was having a lot of trouble even with paying rent and things like that. So what did it do for you? What changed like massively?
Okay, so during the pandemic, we as Ugandan artists, I don't know about Kenya, but for us, we were put on lockdown from 2020, 2021, and we were opened in 2022. Mm. So that's 2 years, no business, no work, nothing. And you know, I wasn't an artist that was making money yet. I was still struggling. So the pandemic made it worse. So worse, I could eat porridge and posho on the same meal. Like, porridge, the drink, and posho is the food. So I was really strugguing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I said, I'm giving up, I'm done with this. Maybe I can go and do a normal job. I can go and be a PR.
I can give Aniko a run for her money.
I was just in a very bad place. And in the pandemic, I think, I don't know what a depression is, but I really was close to that. They say mid-20s are difficult years. Mine was just so special in the way that you have nothing to eat, you have no money, you have no vision, and then your music that you're releasing, you know, music, you need a lot of money to push it.
Expensive.
You need to position yourself. And then when Tupate became a hit song, I started eating some chicken chips. I started using some good lotion. I'm like, okay, things were not doing. My skin was bad. I had like acne all over.
Because of the stress. Because the stress also causes like acne sometimes and many times.
You know how you lose just self-esteem. Mm. And even if someone calls you for an interview, you're just like, that's how I was. Then I was also not so loved back home. Mm. I was, you know, this artist who has like a lot of controversy. Nobody really says anything good about you. Like if there is news to being made about you, you know very well it's going to be bad news. And bad news is attractive. People would give it a lot of attention.
Of course, of course.
So I would just not fit in so much. And then after the breakthrough of Tupate, my chest was like up in the open. I was feeling myself. I was making money from my music. I drew my head for a long time. My management was so happy.
Now they start to write stories. Tupate is number one for another
good
week.
Stories are being made about me. They were calling me the miracle girl, like that person who everybody thought couldn't but did.
Amazing.
So I was like a testimony. People would ask me stuff and they would expect me to speak a lot of sense to them.
Really?
Yeah. And actually when the Netflix happened, because that was the highest
height
Tupate
of the
went.
Success of Tupate, you know, getting on that Pan-African kind of platform.
Yes. Now my family started calling. They're like, we apologize for not believing in you. My family didn't believe in me ever.
Really?
Yeah. Until when Tupate was a hit. Even like the elders in the family, that's when they started saying, oh my God, we didn't believe in you. We now see what you're doing. My estranged dad started calling me and he wants me now as his daughter. Basically, it really changed my life, 360.
Wow. So how did you handle that, you know, success and almost like overnight fame? You know, it's like you were famous, but now you are famous once again over something you worked so hard for, that you prayed for. So it's kind of a different experience with fame. Now it's positive. Now it's the fame that you wanted. Yeah. Nobody wants everyone to be writing negative things about them.
Of course, for me, I didn't feel like it was overnight. I felt like I've worked so hard for this. I deserve this. But so many people who did not know the background story, they don't know the hustle, they don't know the sacrifices, they would say this just happened. They don't know exactly what I went through to achieve what I achieved. Mm-hmm. But it made me very humble in a way. I was already a very humble person.
Yeah.
But when I saw all this love from people, by the way, I needed the love from the fans than the money. Like money didn't make so much sense to me in the industry, in the music. I was like, I wish I could stand on stage and people scream my name and people scream my lyrics. And I went on stage 17 times and that was happening. I would leave off stage just covering my face. I want to cry. I'm like, oh my God, this is a blessing from God. And then, of course, you know, when there is success, there is also these people that hate you so much.
Of course.
They just feel maybe they are competition, or they feel, no, she doesn't belong there. She doesn't deserve that. Those ones also were there. And I would just give them my side eye.
I love you so much. I feel like I'm having tea with my girlfriend. You're Thank so you. Real. I love it. I love it. I wanted to ask, like, when did you know that this music thing was for you? Because I've followed your career and you've been around in terms of just hustling different jobs. Like, you have been a supervisor at a bakery. You've worked at a supermarket as a cashier. Oh, my God. You have been an Uber driver. You have sold SIM cards. Were a clothes vendor. I'm like, come on. This girl really tried anything she could have. You know, tried. When were you doing all these things?
So I knew I was going to be an artist when I was very young, like 8 years. I was writing songs at that age, gospel songs, like, you know, kiddish, but very unexpected from a kid. So I felt like I'm going to be a star, and I wanted to be like Rihanna or Beyonce. I would sometimes dress like Beyonce in my bedroom and get a microphone and sing and just imagine people are screaming my name. And then I ran away from home when I was like 14 years old. It wasn't something I wanted to do. I just wanted to like find my dad, find my family, find who I really am. So I left my guardian's home, ran to my stepbrother's home, and I had no idea what I was going into. Like, I did not know what I was landing into. 15 years of age, my brother couldn't afford my tuition. He couldn't afford me a sanitary towels. You know, he's a boy. He has a family of his own. So I started to look for work. My first job was, I worked at a bakery. It was called Ntake. I first worked as an attendant. Then they made me supervise because I was so aggressive. I was fired from there, I think, a month later because I wanted to study. I wanted to be educated. And I wanted to also be an artist. I didn't want to be an artist without being educated.
Of course.
No, I have to prove to people that just because I love the fame does not mean I don't want to put things in my brain. So coordinating school and work got me into so many jobs and off so many jobs. So I would like, I'm a supermarket attendant during the holidays. And then when it's time to go back to school, can I come back after 3 months? They told me, no, please don't come.
You're fired.
I'm fired.
We need somebody full time, okay?
Yeah. So every holiday, especially third term holiday, I would make sure I have a job. I'm doing something with my life.
Oh.
And then I continued to pursue music as well. I went to studio for the very first time. I think it was 2010. So when I went to that studio, I used to like back people for money. So I come to studio, I back you up, I put harmonies, vocals, everything. I made producers, my friends, different producers. And then, of course, like they'll give you 20K, which is like 2,000 Kenya shillings. Mm. So they'll give
Not bad for a 15-year-old starting
yes,
out.
Definitely. So I'd keep my car money. I'm like, I'm going to keep my money for school. During that time, I was in Form 4, which is one of the hardest levels in high school.
Yeah.
So what came to me was how after recording my very first song, the legend at that time in Uganda called Raggedy had the song. And then next day I came back to pick my music. It had his voice.
And you were like, what?
I could not believe it. I was like, oh my God. This was the artist. Like, you know, he was the top artist in Uganda. I could never have imagined singing with him, first of all, because he had never done a song with any girl or anyone for that matter. So when he did the recording of the song, and then I go to pick the song, the producer tells me, Raggedy is not here, but he liked your song just the way you are so much. And then he put vocals, so he played for me. I was like, no, this must be a dream. I'm not going back to school. I'm going to just stay a musician. Like, I'm a star. Look at me. And then we did the video a year later. And this is when he sees me for the first time. He's like, how old are you?
I had
2 years. I told him, I'm 17. He's like, you look so young. I didn't have
nothing.
I didn't have hair. So he told his sister, can you get her maybe a wig or something? We age her. Yeah. We get her some lipstick and stuff. So the video was done. But then when the video finished and the song dropped, the fame wasn't what I thought it was. Mm. Like, I wasn't a star. People were not saying my name on the street. Mm. I was still starving. I still needed money. I still everything. So I went back to that hustling life and started just my usual jobs. Those jobs for people who are not so educated.
Yeah, selling anything you can make the money of the day.
Yes. And then I think it was 2014, there, 15, I went and got a job in ICEA as an insurance vendor. I should say that was my hardest job ever. I would walk from morning to evening, and there is not a single person who is ready to listen to me. And then this is life insurance, you know. that's really hard to send. You would rather sell pens than that. So my first customer who accepted was called Abgre.
You even remember the name?
Yes, definitely. Because when you get a policy, you get 40% off that policy. So I had 1.6 the minute he signed on my... That was my first minion in my life.
You have so to keep, impressive.
You know, right?
You That's have why keep, I say this girl is a hustler. I'm even starting to think maybe I should be selling life insurance. I know a lot of people
There's
who might
a lot
buy
of money
that.
Insurance, but to get a client
is a problem.
6 months, yeah. So this guy looks at me and he's like, what else can you do? Because you don't seem like you're
a
here.
A typical insurance
yes.
seller.
You don't seem like you're here because you want to. You seem like you're here because it's what you gotta do. Mm-hmm. So I told him I'm an artist. He's like, really? Let me hear some of your music. I played for him some of my music. I think I had like 2 songs. That car one from Raggedy, which I would tell everybody who cared to listen. And then I had another car single. So I told him... He's like, you're so talented. Why aren't you in studio? I told him, I don't have the money. I don't have the management. He's like, no, I'm going to get you someone who can help you to start your career. Now, at that time, I also wanted to be at uni. So I was conflicted. Should I go for music? Should I go for uni? Should I go for music? And this guy had a lot of money. And he had, like, so many connections, everything. If I said yes, I think my career would have started then. But then I said no. I think I should go to school. I feel like school can't wait. If I'm older, I will not be able to be in school. But then music, I can happen anytime.
True.
He's like, oh my God, that's the wrongest thing I've ever had an artist say. I've never had an artist choose education over
their career in music.
Their career. And I'm like, I think I made a wrong decision. I think I made a wrong decision. And the entire time when I was in school, I was doing a diploma in business administration. I first did public administration. Then I did business administration. So when I was like in my second year, I said, you know what? Let me just go back to music. That's how I was. In music, out of music. In music, out of music. So this time I go to the studio and I meet my current manager, Kusame. He's like, you know what? If you've really come to sing, you're going to sing. If you've come to just, you know, record a song and go, I'm not going to give you my time. I told him, please, I beg.
Come slowly, Mr. Manager. It's first day and you're already giving ultimatums, eh?
That was 2016. Then I started singing, I started recording, I was now in studio, so serious. At that time, I was, of course, doing Uber, and I left Uber alone. I was like, this is not making me any money.
Did any of your Uber passengers recognize you as an artist or
no,
not really?
No, not at all. At the time, I wasn't recognizable as an artist. You know what I did with Uber? I did clothing. And I decided to do male clothing. I had an online men's store. So I started that one because I was doing Uber. So I said, instead of taking these guys and they're trying to throw those, you know, how guys try to hit on you or something, I could just sell them clothes. And then I can pretend I'm interested, but actually I'm just selling my clothes.
You are so brilliant. You're like, I'm just going to open my male shop and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so the clothes were in the boot. The minute you started jazz with me, I'm listening. And then that's, by the way, I have some outfits for men. Can you have a look? And then slowly by slowly, clientele went up. I was making more money in the clothing than in the Uber.
I think there are different levels of being a hustler. You are on another level. Fine. Most people just think of selling something, but you think of a strategy that will allow you to make the most sales in the fastest time possible.
Yeah, because the rent, now at that time I was staying by myself from 16 years. I was renting. And if you know me, I wanted to be in the cute houses with a bathroom
of
inside.
Of course. At least who doesn't want to be in a cute house?
At least not a bathroom inside. So while my friends were getting like outfits, clothing, you know, like my age mates, we come to school and people are trying to like compete in fashion and everything. For me, I would be like, I actually can't afford that. I'm going to just stick to paying my rent.
Of course.
You guys stay with your parents. And then I was not even seen as someone who can dress well at that time. My friends started seeing the thread when now I'm an artist. Like, you could dress this entire time. You're not a tomboy. Because I would just be in baggy jeans. I would just throw on T-shirts and go, now I'm dressing like a Beyonce.
They would look at me like, you're a star, girl. You're a star.
So 2017 there, people started seeing me for my fashion now. They're like, actually, there is a saying that, oh, you dress better than you sing. Like, of course, yeah, I have to. Because I don't make these clothes. I just find them and I put them together. As for the song, you have to think for the song. You have to think the topic, record the song, the vocals.
Fia, you are so amazing.
Thank you.
So from the person who used to wear baggy jeans and friends thought you were a tomboy to become a fashion icon, because to me, your fashion is iconic.
Thank you.
You know, you are one of the celebrities I follow on IG to see what is she wearing today.
Oh my God.
You know, you show up, you can never confuse like, is this Pia or not? You're like, definitely Pia or definitely a superstar. If you walk in somewhere and someone doesn't know who you are, they'll be like, who is that? You know, it's just inside of you. Your videos ooze a lot of fashion, you know.
Thank you.
Like Tupate, original video, you know, the remix. Wanting Me. Oh my God. What was happening in that video with the big pot? Is that a real pot?
I have videos. I'll show you the videos making the pot. We looked for a pot that size.
It's
everywhere.
The biggest, it's a life size pot. It's as big as a human being.
Actually, one of the concepts in the video, I had to sit in the pot and I had to be dripping with the soup in the pot and I had to be like whining in the pot and mingling.
Mm.
But then it seemed very unrealistic, artistic, but unrealistic. So they told me, please just mingle from outside.
No, you can tell even from that video, you can tell that you are very creative. The creative
Thank
direction
you.
Is very unique.
Thank you.
There's a coordinated like effort even in the styling, the fashion. You know, there's a time when the models are walking out of the building and they're wearing all this regal looking Ankara. And it's just amazing, you know, and I really appreciate you and any other African and East African who does those kind of videos, because unfortunately a lot of artists or creatives sometimes are lazy and they are very talented, but then they release just really mediocre videos. So when I see somebody put in so much effort like you do, I appreciate that, unajua, because someone will see that video like on MTV or whatever and they will see Africa, they'll see excellence. And I think that's what I appreciate in you and a lot of other artists. And I think we as Africans, East Africans, you know, we need to strive more to elevate our culture, elevate our art in the most sophisticated way we can. I mean, if we can do it well, let's do it well. If we can invest in our videos and creatives, let's invest in it. And I see you put in so much investment. It must be expensive, no? To shoot such a video.
Very.
Is most of the money going to the director or is it going mainly to wardrobe?
It depends. Now, when I was doing Wanting Me, I worked with a designer in Uganda called Abbas Kaijuka.
Mm-hmm.
Abbas has actually got me into this Africanacity, sexy Africanacity kind of vibe. Then being the other thing from, you know, I just wanted to look sexy, look amazing, and mostly sexy because I feel like I have a lot of sex appeal, I don't know. So it took me some time to embrace it. But then later I said, this is where I fit most. This is what separates me from all the people that try to look like what I'm trying to do. So when we are like doing videos, sometimes Abbas is ready to say, I'm going to put an investment as well because I want you to shine as I shine.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what Fatuma Asha, Abbas, that's what we do mostly. So I find that I'm doing a video concept, but I'm not spending so much on the fashion like I would. Because it's really expensive.
And I see a thread, you know, it's the same young girl who would drive an Uber and use the opportunity to see how best to sell some clothes. In the same case scenario, you're this grown woman who is in the industry where you have to spend a lot, but you're like, how can I save on that but collaborate with likely individuals? And they always say, if you want to go far, go with some people, but if you go alone, it will take you a long time. So that's very smart.
Thank you.
One thing that is coming out in this interview is a lot of people might look at you as the sex appeal or the artist who was successful because of this song. But even I know now that you're not successful because of Tupate. You are successful because you are successful.
Thank you.
It's all you,
thank
girl.
Thank you so much. Those are words of encouragement.
I'm telling you. I'm just like, you were successful when you were 15. Tell me another 15-year-old who's paying their apartment, working part-time, going to school. That is really inspiring. And yeah. I give you your flowers. So what's the plan for 2024?
2024 is about me showing my growth, showing my experience, basically having people to see that 27-year-old indeed, not the 23-year-old they met when I was being signed in 2018. So I have an album coming. I'm working on it. It's going to drop anytime from now. And then on that album is where I want to expose who I truly am, my passions, what I've grown to love, what I've grown to live and all that stuff. But mostly my roots, like my African. I don't know why, but I will tell you, I'm obsessed with being an African.
I am obsessed
with being a Ugandan. I feel like I watch all these videos on MTV base and I'm like, why are we trying to look like what we are not? Why are we trying to promote what doesn't belong to us? Yet we have, like, look at your earrings. Your earrings, when I walked in, I was like, okay, this is an African woman who is not going to try to, like, force. Because, by the way, I tried to do that. I tried to force this urban thing on myself. And then I felt like, no, this is not what people want from me. There is so many urban artists anyway.
True.
I would like to be my real self, my real peer, the real peer, what they should know, what they should expect. So in 2024, it's what I'm going to be up to. And then also I'm going to do collabs, like in Kenya now. I've done 3 and I want to do more in Tanzania, in Rwanda. Be an East African and represent that. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Any message you want to share to anybody listening, especially those who have walked with you through this journey? And the dudes who bought your clothes in the Ubers, you know, this person
By the way,
who...
during my clothing selling, there was a gentleman from a station called Galaxy FM. He became a customer of mine. He passed away last year, though.
Oh, no.
But that hurt because I used to say, you have a story that backs up my story. But then I also sold to people like SK Mbuga. I had like a clientele that even became friends. They began because now that gentleman, the one who passed away, he used to say, why don't you dress ladies? Why don't you do this? Or like, they would try to advise me and try to guide me here and there. I'm really thankful for those guys. Happy that I'm right now here where I am. And I'm sure most of them are proud. Even my bosses, the people that I worked for, they were so amazing. I love them. And then my friends and family, I have some family members who are not yet on board, by the way. But after my Grammy, they'll come kneeling down, saying, please, can we touch it? And then I'll say, please, first wash your hands. Eh? I'll like, I'll give them level. Anyway, that kind of sometimes hurts when the people that you feel should be the ones.
Of course, of course.
But then I have a huge number of people, like my manager over there. We have a house called ABM, African Bureau of Music. And in there is people like Theruth over there who really believe in me. They really trust my art. Like every time I produce something, I bring something, they say, we love it. It's good. I'm like, guys, be honest. It could be ugly.
And I have to say this because you're shouting out people. Shout out to your team. They do a really good job.
Thank you.
I receive everything you're doing. I have all your songs in my email. If you want, I'll show you.
Oh,
you know, and I like that, you know, because I see them. I put them in some playlist. You know, at least
God,
I know what's happening.
You.
So even before this interview, I was talking to friends in Uganda, like, oh, I'm going to interview Pia. Tell me about how, what do you think? And they were like mentioning songs. And I was like, I know those songs. So I was happy that how I knew you is how they know you. And we're kind of on the same page. But I think I wouldn't have been on the same page if your team wasn't actually letting me know. Because sometimes you don't even know what's happening in UG or TZ.
So
I appreciate, you know, your team.
Thank
and
you
I appreciate
guys.
All Africans trying to cross-promote themselves within the region.
Thank you so much, Aniko. That means a lot. Yesterday we were doing a song. We slept really late. And then today morning I couldn't wake up. I was like, oh God. And then they kept ringing the bell.
They were like, Pia is just waking up. I was like, that's fine, that's fine. I totally understand.
If you don't have a team that pushes you and like tries to make you a better person, you really can't go far in this industry. This industry, most times I wake up and I'm like, really, why am I doing this? Yeah. Why am I? Yeah. Like I released Wanting Me 3 months ago. It has 280K views. Mm. And I felt in 3 months down the road, it would be 3 million. So, but then you need people who can ground you and say, you know what, Tupate had 34K for a year. And now it has over millions.
Yeah, it's with like 1.5 or 1.6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I have a team, I have a manager who grounds me and talks sense to me and tries to speak encouragement and motivation. Sometimes that is low. Like you've run low on motivation and you're high on anxiety. You're just, okay, I'm going to perform, but then you have people that believe in you. We love what you do. You're good. You're this. I can't replace that with money, I swear. Mm. It means a lot to me. So thank you, Team FBM. I love you so much, guys. And I hope we bring that Grammy. We started the Grammy campaign.
Yeah.
So every time I'm in studio, my manager is like, do you want the Grammy or not?
You're like, I do. I do.
And Eddie Kenzo last year was nominated in the Grammy.
Of course.
You know, in Uganda, we see a Grammy and you're like, ah, that's so, it's so Nigerian.
You always see that it is so far.
Yeah.
Eddie gets nominated and like, I didn't realize it's this close.
Yeah. When he got nominated, I said, if Eddie Kenzo, a person who didn't even know how to say English, a person who was told can't sing.
And there's another Ugandan artist not based in Uganda, Angelina.
Angelina.
Her song is on Billboard Top 100. Her song is like number 7.
Oh, yeah.
There with Kinarema.
Angelina.
So, again, Uganda on the map, right? Uganda to the world.
Yesterday, I told a Kenyan that Uganda, we're going to lead in this East African... And you know what he replied? That's true. That is very true. Because you guys are serious and then your music is global. And then I said, oh my God, if even people that should be feeling like they're our competition are saying we can, then I feel like we can.
For me, I think you all have always been on a different level, I always say. I think someone needs to come to Uganda to see how the industry operates, to know why you are ahead in many ways.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm in Uganda, I put on the radio and Pia Pound's concert is national news. That never happens in Kenya. You know, you hear the fuel prices have gone up. Pia Pound has announced she has a concert in December. Like, I love that about Uganda. You people take entertainment and artists so seriously, even though there's a flip side where there's also very negative attention sometimes, you know, on the media. But that's just the nature of the business.
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is. Sometimes you're good, sometimes... Like, for example, for us, we have an issue of piracy. I could release a song today, and then everybody has it, but I'm not making a coin because people are getting the song for free. I could even go perform for free. I could even go pay a station to play my music. So we have that issue, but we recently formed a federation. And I hope so much that they really, really put our issues, they sort our issues so we can shine. We have a lot of talent in Uganda. And then for you to even make it, to be household name, you need a lot of work. Like you keep quiet for 3 months, someone already has a hit. This one, so it's a very active industry. But then I admire the Kenyan industry so much. Why? Kenya, an artist will make a hit in 2009. And in 2020, they're still being held for that hit there. Like, oh my God!
Yay, yay, yay.
In Uganda, it doesn't happen.
But is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? I think...
Yes, it is. Because guys, making a hit song is not easy. And not a first one. You know, some songs, they can promote it a million times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then there is a song that just grows.
I know what
you mean.
And
people love it and it becomes timeless. In Uganda, you will be forgotten after your song. yeah, you have to like really keep pushing and pushing and making yourself relevant. And having a hit doesn't mean that, okay, so now that I have a hit, let me just
now I can chill.
No, actually, when you get a hit, that's when you now need to work harder and harder. So for me, I'm on now that pressure because my fans in Uganda be like, we need another hit. And angrily. I put something on my socials and the comments down there, they're just asking for another hit, another hit, another hit. I'm like, I wish you guys know what it means and what it takes to make that other hit. Mm. But I'm praying for the hit as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to VIP Access. I've really enjoyed this. It was so amazing. So amazing. And I wish you well in everything you put your hands to in this 2024. Obviously, Kenya is your home. You know, welcome back anytime. Thank you to your team for bringing you over here. I appreciate Pierpont's management, everybody who, you know, is behind you. They're doing a great job, and I hope they continue to do that. Those who are listening to VIP Access, thank you so much. This week's guest was Pierpont from Kampala, Uganda. Please go there and follow her social media handles. She has another hit song about to drop. She has a full album about to drop. So let's support her and let's just uplift her. She's a dope artist. She's a dope creative. She's a dope fashionista. And for those who are following VIP Access, continue to spread the good messages. We are on social media via TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and every week we are releasing new episodes on Tuesday. Remember, VIP Access is also syndicated on Nation FM, so every Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m., you can catch this show on Nation FM Kenya. And we're also syndicated in Ghana, so you can watch VIP Access on MX24 TV every Tuesdays and every Saturdays. Next week, I will be back with yet another amazing individual and personality who's going to inspire you. Thank you. VIP Access Season 4 is proudly supported by the Australian High Commission.